Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
It is the eve of the in-season tournament quarterfinals for the Bucks. There is one quarterfinals game going on as we speak in Indianapolis, where the Pacers have a very, very slim lead over the Boston Celtics in the final minutes of the third quarter. We will keep you up to speed on that score, as it should go final before we sign off here on Bucks Weekly. Coming up on this week's show, we have our courtside conversation with the Milwaukee Bucks. And tonight, Gail Klappa's guest is Pat Connaughton, who has unfortunately had to take in the last few games from the sidelines for the team. It has been a string of injuries on the perimeter for this Bucks team after you started the season with, I suppose you would say, so much luck in terms of health, and that has taken a sharp turn in the recent weeks. We saw Marjon Beauchamp miss about a week of action. Chris Livingston, the rookie out of Kentucky, missed about a week with an ankle sprain. Jay Crowder, of course, the biggest of those injuries, as it's not going to be until, probably January before we see Jay Crowder back on the floor. Mid-January, probably, as he is recovering from that adductor surgery that he had. And now Pat Connaughton went down with an ankle injury in that game against the Miami Heat last Tuesday, the game that propelled the Bucks into the quarterfinals of this first ever in-season tournament. So the Pacers are hosting the Celtics right now. And again, about 2 minutes left in the third quarter, the lead is ballooned to 9 for the Indiana Pacers. And the winner of that game between the Pacers and Celtics plays the winner of the Bucks and the Knicks, which is tomorrow at Fiserv Forum. And just to get in front of it here for you, Jay Crowder obviously out in tomorrow's matchup. Pat Connaughton, we'll hear from shortly, he has also been ruled out with that right ankle sprain. So it'll now be about a week that Pat Connaughton has been on the shelf. It was, probably 8 or 9 days that Marjon Beauchamp was out. And same for Chris Livingston, as those ankle issues occurred one day apart for that duo. And now you add Pat Connaughton in the mix as well. So the Bucks have not been fortunate in terms of their ankle health so far this season. And as we've talked about this team taking some strides and steps forward, when you look at some of their metrics and how that bears out with their overall ratings, we mentioned the defense and where that had been since November 3rd. Ironically enough, the first game against the New York Knicks, and that was the game why we mentioned November 3rd. That was the game where we saw Brook Lopez utilized in the drop once again. And he had, 8 block shots, I believe, that game against the Knicks, his season high. It was like old times for Brook Lopez. And we saw the defense show some signs of getting better. Now, I've mentioned this a handful of times already. I don't think this is going to be an elite unit. I don't think that's going out on the limb to suggest that either. But again, with what we've continued to see from this Bucks offense, the goal should be, can we get to just slightly better than league average? And I say that because right now, the Bucks have the 4th best offense in the league. They are less than 1 point per 100 possessions behind the Atlanta Hawks, who are 3rd. Bucks have an even 118 offensive rating. Hawks have a 118.6 offensive rating. 76ers have a 119.8. So basically 2 points per 100 possessions better than the Bucks. And then you have the Indiana Pacers, who again, up 9 right now on the Celtics, 85-76 in the final minutes of the third quarter. The Indiana Pacers have a 123.8 offensive rating. That is 4 points per 100 possessions better than the second-place team. For context, if you looked at the second-place Philadelphia 76ers, their 119.8 offensive rating is almost the same margin separating the second-best Sixers and the 10th best Denver Nuggets at 117, as it is between the Indiana Pacers and the Sixers 1 and 2. So that's been an elite offense. And the Bucks have played, I think it's also worth pointing out, a handful of those offenses when we talk about where this defense currently sits. So I'll just get right to that part. Right now, the Bucks defense is the 21st rated defense in the league overall. Their overall assessment thus far, 21. Last year, you were right around 1 for a majority of the season. And the last, 5 years, you had basically been near the top. 21 right now. If we go back to those games played November 3rd and on, that defense suddenly looks a lot better. 114.1 defensive rating, that is 1 point per 100 possessions better. And again, it goes to show you how much offense we have in this league, that you have numbers in the 110s, and those are still in the top five. 107.9 is the best defensive rating in the league, and in years past, you would usually shoot for close to 100 as your line of demarcation for where are the best of these. It just goes to point out how much offense is in the league now. But again, since Brook Lopez had been used in that spot, the Bucks are posting the 12th best offense in the league. They have the 4th best offense from that point forward as well, as that number has increased to a 119.4. And their overall net rating is 8th best in the league at 5.2, just behind, in the same neighborhood as, the Indiana Pacers and the Philadelphia 76ers. So overall, those numbers have slightly improved. Defense dramatically, if you go from 21 to 12, it's showing you those signs of growth. And if you can get that defense, hey, if you can finish 12th, I think we would all love that. If you can finish anywhere from 12 to 15, where you're average or slightly better than average, the thought is what we've seen from this offense, the growth we've seen there, and again, fourth best in the league since that date of November 3rd, in the top five for the overall performance. As long as our defense can keep us in the game, our offense is what's going to take us home. And I think a big part of why we've seen the Bucks improved in the clutch so far this season is because of the changes to the offense, and specifically one name, which I don't think should be too hard to guess who we're referring to. So I do want to get to some of those numbers from Damian Lillard from the Bucks in the fourth quarter overall and why this group has been so good in the clutch. And to take a look ahead at tomorrow's game against the New York Knicks as well, because again, no Pat Connaughton, no Jay Crowder. We did not see Andre Jackson Jr. in the game against the Hawks with some back spasms. He is listed as questionable, so likely a game time decision for Ajax. But the Knicks have no big names on their injury report. Evan Fournier, really the biggest name that is on there, and he is questionable with an illness. So this should be two relatively full-strength teams going at it tomorrow. Again, the Bucks' blows coming on the perimeter, and their depth, especially with no Pat Connaughton and no Jay Crowder, pending no Andre Jackson Jr., but all the stars should be available for this one tomorrow. We will preview that in more detail a little bit later on in the hour, but when we return, it is time for Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks, and this week Gail Klopp's guest is Pat Connaughton. That conversation comes your way next on Bucks Weekly.
The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead! It's Dame time!
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious!
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all. The president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gail Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gail Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. 14-6 and a date with the Knicks. That's the state of play as the Bucks head into the first full week of December. 20 games of this new NBA season already in the books. The Bucks at 14-6, just a game and a half back in the East. But all eyes are on the in-season tournament, the new wrinkle put in place by the league. There's a trophy involved, there's a boatload of cash involved, and if the Bucks beat the Knicks on Tuesday night, they'll earn a ticket to ride to Vegas. Tonight, we'll unpack it all with one of the good guys, the leader of the bench mob, Pat Connaughton, a player who's been, over the years, a real difference maker for the Bucks. Pat, welcome to Courtside again. Always fun to visit with you.
Appreciate you having me, Gail. Looking forward to it.
Well, Pat, first things first. You injured your ankle driving for a layup, if I recall, against the Heat in Miami last week. How's your recovery coming, and when do you think we might see you back on the court?
Oh, not soon enough, Gail. But recovery's coming great. It was unfortunate timing. Stepped on Bam's foot as I was trying to jump, so put a little bit more pressure through it at the wrong time while I was in a vulnerable position. But overall, the recovery is coming great. It's not dissimilar to an injury I had at the end of last year that took me 2 to 3 weeks to get back from.
And, Pat, you actually made a circus shot as you were falling away. Did you see it go in?
I did not see it go in, to be honest with you. But when I found out I made it, it definitely made the pain a little bit easier to bear. I can guarantee you that.
I can imagine. Well, as we pointed out earlier, the Bucks have racked up 14 wins in the early going this season. Many of those wins have been down-to-the-wire heart pounders. Pat, what's your take on the performance of the team at this point?
I'm really happy with, the resiliency that we've shown. And when we're put ourselves and get into these tight game situations, it's always good to have some game pressure on you during the course of the season. I think maybe our fans would like us to win by a little bit more. It might be better for people's health and, heart rates. But it's really good to obviously learn and put ourselves in pressure situations early on so that, we get accustomed to it, because that's a lot of times what playoff basketball is. And I think to get, 12, 13 wins during the course of this and really learn while still being able to win games as we're getting our feet under us, as Damon Giannis's chemistry is growing, as Coach Griff's getting his feet under him and continuing to implement all the things he wants to do offensively and defensively, it's something that's been fun to watch.
Well, Pat, with the big blockbuster trade that brought Damian Lillard to the Bucks, the team now has literally two of the best players of all time in the starting lineup. From your perspective, how are Dame and Giannis gelling? And what should fans look for as these two superstars learn to play off each other?
I've been fortunate. I played with Dame for 3 years at the beginning of my career, and then Giannis for the last six, and now both of them for this first one. And this is the way that they complement each other, not just in their, basketball skill and on court. Obviously, Dame being able to shoot and attack the rim, Giannis being able to attack the rim and defend, and, all the different things that each of them can do on the floor. But their demeanor, their personality, their mindset, their competitive nature, the things that, they thoroughly enjoy, their families winning and playing basketball games and doing what they can do to help make their teammates better, staying calm and cool under pressure. They have a lot of similarities in that side of things that I don't think, the average fans gets to see as much as obviously we get to see on a daily basis. So it's really cool to see them play alongside one another. It's really cool to see them complement one another. And that's really cool to see the similarities that they bring.
And Pat, we were fortunate to sit down with Dame a couple of weeks ago. He mentioned that you were a big part of the conversations that intrigued him about the possibility of becoming a Buck. Tell us about that exchange, if you will.
I'm fortunate to be around great guys, right? So, Dame's one of those, and he was one of those. He was my vet as a rookie, first, second year, third year guy, really learning from someone like himself. And it's not just the teammate bond, but he's a true friend. He's a guy that I can call up about anything. He's obviously been in the league for 12, 13 years now. So for him and to learn from the things that he's seen and have a personal relationship with him and be able to pick his brain. And then the same with Giannis. Giannis and I talk about things far beyond just basketball. It's business, philanthropy, family, what you like doing in the offseason, different things. Go over, see him in Greece, watch obviously the premiere of his movie a couple of years back over in Greece. It's just, it's cool to become friends with these guys that I know a lot of people look up to because of their basketball abilities, but it's really their, how they care for one another, how they care for their teammates, how they care for their families, who they are as people is what I'm fortunate to be able to see. And so just knowing both of them, it's something that, I thought would be really cool. It'd be really cool for them to be able to play together, something that I know they both want to win at the highest level And I know, fortunately for us, Giannis has been able to help us do that for the last 5 years. But, you know, for Dame, we always wanted him to win at the highest level as well. And I just said to him, hey, the one rule is no matter where we go, I better be a part of that.
You got a great definition of cool with Dame and Giannis on the same team with you. And Pat, speaking of change, we've got a new head coach, Adrian Griffin, patrolling the sidelines for the Bucks this season. Your thoughts on Coach Griff's approach to the game and the type of adjustments that you and the other veterans are being asked to make?
I think Griff's got a great feel for the game of basketball. Obviously, being a past player, being a guy that played along guys like, you know, Dirk and Michael Finley and different guys that obviously helped him, you know, have a 8-year career as an undrafted guy, and to see that perspective and then to see the perspective of different head coaches throughout, you know, his coaching career. It's been really cool to learn from him, and really, you know, cool the way that he's able to, you know, have respect from each and every single guy because of not just his past experiences, but also because of the way he carries himself as a coach. And I think, you know, he's done a great job trying to continue to push us to be better in a bunch of different areas, and being able to relate to us as a past player has really taken that, you know, respect even up a notch.
And Pat, in the past, as a top assistant, Coach Griffin was thought to be a defensive specialist. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that anytime a new coach, I feel like, comes into a situation and he wants to imprint the things that he's looking forward to doing, whether it's offensively or defensively, but in this case, defensively. And we have a lot of guys who have been here for 3, 4, 5 years. It's going to take some time, right? But I think we started to show over the last 10 games flashes of what that defensive strategy that he has can do, and how we're able to utilize our length and switching and start to create some turnovers that can lead to easy baskets, and really try to make it hard on what the other team wants to accomplish. And I think that's where, you know, the focus has often been, you know your personnel, KYP, know individuals on the other team and what they want to do, try to make sure that we're able to, you know, limit those and make them go to their second, third, fourth options, but then also know what they want to do as a team. No teams, you know, want to get corner three-pointers. No teams want to get to the rim. And how do you try to prevent some of those things more often than not to put ourselves in a better position to win games?
More with Pat Connaughton in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks guard Pat Connaughton.
Pat, we'll talk for a moment about defense. And over the past 5 years, as you well know, the Bucks have been an elite team defensively. This season, as we discussed, the defense right now more of a work in progress. But the stats at crunch time, Pat, the defense seems to be coming alive.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, defense wins championships. I know everyone says it. In the NBA, offense is something that also helps. But I think we're continuing to try to grow on the defensive side of things. But what has been a really bright spot so far at the beginning of, you know, the first 20 games of the season is how we're able to defend down the stretch in clutch situations and situations where we need a stop, or we need to create a turnover, or we need to force a team into a tough mid-range two, or a bad shot, or a shot from somebody that isn't one of their primary scorers. I think those you know, details are what we've done a great job of here in the close games that we've been able to pull out and win.
Pat, speaking of defensive prowess, my goodness, our friend Brook Lopez is playing out of his mind this year on defense, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, look, Brook continues to look father time in the face and say, not yet. The thing that is most remarkable about Brook to me is you just look at the course of his career. You know, he's, in my opinion, had two all-star careers. He was an all-star, obviously, in Brooklyn, and when he was playing in the post a little bit more, and had all different types of moves. But now you look at him, and he's changed his game to be able to be a perimeter shooter, but still protect the rim and do all the things that he did defensively. And it's truly impressive. He's a great guy to play with. He's somebody that covers up a lot of our mistakes as guards. We're able to push a lot of guys towards the rim, and he's able to have our backs and protect us. And he does it in such a matter-of-fact way. You know, he loves having his teammates' backs. He loves being a guy that can be counted on, and he does it in a very calm, cool, and casual way.
And Pat, how rare is it? You mentioned that Brook has really been able to reinvent himself as an NBA player. That seems to be a rare phenomenon.
It is. I mean, look, it's something that the game is always changing. The game is always evolving. You know, there's more three-pointers being taken now. There's more shots at the rim. There's a little bit less done in the mid-range. And defensive strategies are really obviously elevating to try to adjust and deter those shots from being taken. And for Brook to be able to adjust with the times, you know, come into a league, learn from guys like Kevin Garnett, who were mid-range assassins, and adjust to now be, you know, like guys like Steph Curry, you can shoot the ball from deep. You know, I think it's incredible to see what he's done, but it's a testament to the work that he puts in. It's a testament to, you know, always trying to grow and evolve and be the best basketball player that he can be, no matter what, you know, the game is evolving to.
Pat, speaking of evolving, you've grown and evolved over your years here, no question about it. What player, what teammate has had the most influence on your growth?
It's been a mixture of all of them, right? You know, Chris Middleton is a guy that I love to watch play because he really does a great job using his body. He's, you know, not the quickest, the fastest, jump the highest, but he's so effective with the things that he does. He knows his game, and he does it to the nth degree, and I think he does a tremendous job of, you know, staying within himself. But he also is such a well-rounded game, you know what I mean? He can make a mid-range jump shot. He can shoot the heck out of it from three. He can get to the rim at different times, and he's a great passer, underrated passer, I would say. You know, when Drew Holiday was here, I loved watching him play because of the way that obviously he played on both sides of the ball, but the little nuances that he was able to do, the little bump offs that created just a little bit of space for him to use the backboard when he was in the post, or the way he was able to get to his left hand in, when he got close to the paint and throw up a little baby hook shot, or you know, use the rim to protect from a defender and finish on the other side. You know, and the way he was able to pass the ball as well and really make defensive strategies have to respect not just his ability to score, but his ability to pass. And so I've really tried to learn from a bunch of different of my teammates. You know, Giannis obviously has been great because of the things that we do on the floor, whether it's me setting screen and rolls for him, or whether he's setting some for me, hitting him with a late pass so he can finish at the rim, you know, faking it to him so I can finish at the rim, or, you know, flipping some screens so that he has a runway to the rim. There's just a lot of different things that, you know, I've gotten comfortable with, but I've learned from guys across the last 6 years.
We'll have more with Pat Connaughton right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gale and Bucks guard Pat Connaughton.
Pat, the Bucks face a very big test on Tuesday night. It's the knockout round of the in-season tournament. We play the Knicks at home, and a win sends the team to Vegas for a shot at the trophy. Give our listeners, Pat, two or three keys to watch that would spell success against the Knicks.
Well, you know, look, I think they got an old friend of ours, Dante DiVincenzo, who played here in the past. He's shooting the ball extremely well. I think he hit 7 threes in his last game. So trying to make sure, you know, guys who have played with him know his game, trying to make sure that he doesn't get any clean looks. I think they offensive rebound as well as anybody in the league. You know, Mitchell Robinson does one thing, but he does that one thing very well. He also protects the rim a little bit also. And then, you know, Jalen Brunson, I think understanding how much the ball is in his hands and how much usage rate he has throughout the course of the game, and trying to make sure we're forcing him into tough shots would be the three main things that should put us in a great spot to win.
Pat, you're in the first year of a contract extension that will extend your career into a second decade of pro basketball. But I know, Pat, since you and I have talked many times, I know you've always planned for a life beyond the NBA. And a big part of that plan is a company called Three Leaf Partners. Tell us about the mission and the growth of Three Leaf.
Yeah, you know, our goal is to have an impact through real estate. That impact stretches across a wide variety of different areas. Obviously, you know, we have investors. We want to positively impact their returns. We work in a bunch of different communities. We want to positively impact those communities, not just from, you know, creating value with the property that we're building, but also, you know, adding different areas of value, whether it's things that are important to that community, whether it's working with the neighbors to make sure it's a building that they can be proud of. And then we also try to have an impact by working with nonprofits and philanthropic, you know, industries and corporations that are trying to do good in this world, right? So whether that's monetizing, you know, excess land that a 501c3 has access to, but you know, doesn't have the ability to monetize, so they don't have the ability to necessarily impact as many lives through their mission. But if we're able to work with them, give them some ownership in that land, put it into a place that can create some income, all of a sudden their endowment grows, their ability to further their mission grows, and in turn, the world's kind of a better place. So we really look at real estate as the vehicle to positively impacting the communities, the partners that we work with. And it's been a lot of fun for me to continue to grow. You know, Wisconsin's been a great place to work and great place to grow something like this. They're homers. They're very protective of those coming in. But once they know you're in it for the right reasons, once they know that your values and kind of align with theirs, it's a blue collar city. It's a city that and a state that really protects their own. And so it's been awesome to be a part and become a part of this community. And they've really helped, you know, continue to help me grow my off court endeavors.
Hey, Pat, have you figured out yet that Peter Fagan, the president of the Bucks, does not qualify as a 501c3?
Look, I think Peter Fagan actually does qualify as a 501c3. He needs all the help that he can get, and I try to make sure that I'm there, just as you do, to support him as he continues to make the city of Milwaukee a better place.
There you go, Pat. And I know that through your foundation, Pat, you've started something pretty unique called Connaughton Courts. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so, you know, look, the vehicle of basketball sport has done a lot for me in my life, obviously. I've been fortunate to make it to the highest level and win an NBA championship here. But the things that sport teach us, those translatable life skills, hard work, teamwork, leadership, accountability, discipline, I mean, there's a ton of them. That is what I think really helps those who partake in sports most, because most of us are not going to be able to play at the highest level. Most of us are not going to be able to, you know, play at the Division I level in college or whatever the case might be. But those habits that you build at a young age can really translate to other areas of your life, whether you want to be a firefighter, a police officer, a doctor, a physical therapist, work for a real estate development company, whatever the case is. Those little habits that you build by being a part of sport, by, you know, learning teamwork, by learning, you know, social skills, and working within a team towards one common goal. And so Connaughton Courts specifically is a part of my foundation that it's a real tangible piece that our donors, that the community, that these next generation of student athletes see and can utilize 365 days a year. We want to work with, you know, community centers, not-for-profit schools, especially those in underprivileged areas where, you know, they may not have a basketball court or they may not have one that's viable to utilize as much as they want. But the impact can be felt the second that court is finished and they can start having, you know, AAU programs. They can have volunteer clubs. They can use it for educational purposes. They can use it for other sports and activities. And I think it's something that we've seen. We've done, you know, I think 7 of them to date. We got a few more in the pipeline and we're starting to, you know, grow our application process so that hopefully we can do, you know, 24 more of them, right? And even more beyond that. But the impact that these courts have and the research that we've seen and the data behind how much better off a next generation student athlete, a youth student athlete is partaking in sports at a young age and what that can do for, you know, their lives and how it can help them achieve their dreams is staggering. So it's been really cool for me to be a part of and something that, you know, hopefully we can continue to grow it, to have that impact on, you know, kids across the state of Wisconsin and the Midwest.
That's a great initiative, Pat. And finally, what message would you like to leave with Bucks fans everywhere?
You know, I would say, look, the Bucks fans are the best fans in the league. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but, you know, I grew up in Boston where they, you know, supposedly have great fans, but don't hold a candle to ours. I was playing in Portland where they have great fans, but not quite to the level of ours. And I think as we have started this season with some of the changes that Bucks fans haven't seen over the last 5 years with new coaches, with new players, with new systems, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for us. There's going to be things that, you know, we believe we need to be better in. And I'm sure fans will think we need to be better in. But the support that they give us on a nightly basis doesn't go unnoticed. The support that they give us, whether we win or lose, understanding that we're doing our best to represent the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin to the best of our abilities. And most importantly, I think the knowledge that they have, or, you know, the little things that they see, whether it's Bobby pounding his chest, whether it's me diving on the floor, whether it's Giannis hunched over because of how much he's done in a 3-minute stretch. He's gone nonstop. He's gone baseline to baseline. He's blocked shots. He's dunked. Hopefully they just see, you know, we'll try to leave it out all out there on the court on a nightly basis to best represent them, and leave them with something that they can be proud of. And we're proud to represent them, but we're very thankful for the support that they give us on a daily, weekly, monthly basis.
And Pat, best of luck to you as the season unfolds. Always fun to visit with you. Thanks so much for your time. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
We are almost final in Indianapolis in the first Eastern Conference quarterfinals game between the Celtics and the Pacers. I'll hold off for the next 28 seconds in giving you the updated score, who's up. We'll wait until it goes final. But at this point, I think we know who the Bucks would advance to play, or who the Bucks would play in the semifinals should they advance. So again, here are the scenarios. The winner of this game being played right now between the Indiana Pacers and the Boston Celtics, they move on to the semifinals. The semifinals and the finals, which will pit the East winner versus the West winner, those three games will be played in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena, and the semifinals will be Thursday. 4 p.m. is your first game. 8 p.m. Central Time is the second game. Now, the Bucks. So, again, every team had 80 games scheduled. The two missing games were going to be a part of the in-season tournament. So either you qualify for the quarterfinals, as the Bucks did, you'll play that game. That's one of your two missing games. If you win, you play in the semifinals. That's your second one. If the Bucks lose tomorrow, and I know it's a thought we don't want to entertain, but if the Bucks lose tomorrow, they will play the loser of this game between the Celtics and the Pacers. And then again, that will get you to your 82 games. So there's a couple of interesting, I don't know if I would say subplots, but a couple of interesting developments to come out of this in-season tournament. Number one, the Bucks will play the New York Knicks five times this season. You had four regular season games scheduled, and now you have this quarterfinals game. So you'll play the Knicks five times. I mention that because should you need a tiebreaker, you won't have to keep going down the list of conference record, division record, and one by one, you'll have an odd number of games. So that will settle the tiebreaker in the head-to-head tie, in the event of a head-to-head tie between the Bucks and the Knicks. They are also going to play either the Pacers or the Celtics five times. So again, if the Bucks win and the Celtics win, they play the Celtics. If the Bucks lose and the Celtics lose, they'll play the Celtics again. If the Bucks win and the Pacers win, they play the Pacers. The Bucks lose and the Pacers lose, they will also play the Pacers. So you're going to get five matchups against one of those two teams, which is also interesting because, look, if the Bucks start to put together a run here, and I say that as if they're like five games out of first place, they're still in striking distance. But if the Bucks start to clean some of these things up, put together a run, and somehow you get into a tiebreaker situation for the Celtics, you will have played them five times. And that will settle the tiebreaker. The Pacers one is even more interesting because we may need that for who wins the Central Division with the way the Indiana Pacers are playing. Okay, 5.4 seconds. Do we feel confident with this, Tommy? Like it's election night and calling the results? Thumbs up? The Indiana Pacers are about to beat the Boston Celtics in the quarterfinals of the in-season tournament. Not a strong clutch performance by the Celtics. I'm sure we will We'll dissect that and why are the Celtics so good for 43 minutes and not good for 5 minutes, just as we do why are the Bucks so good for 5 minutes and maybe not the previous 43 minutes. But the Indiana Pacers are about to move on to the semifinals, and it is now final, 119-112. The Pacers win it. So if the Bucks win, they will play the Indiana Pacers in the semifinals in a game that will be played Thursday in Las Vegas, Nevada. If the Bucks lose, they will play the Boston Celtics Friday on the road in Boston, presumably a 6:30 tip. So we now know the scenarios in play for the Bucks as we get set for tomorrow's matchup against the New York Knicks. We'll take a closer look at that matchup and wrap up the show next. It's Bucks Weekly. All right, so again, the Indiana Pacers, the first team to advance to the semifinals in the first ever in-season tournament. So this much is clear. If you win tomorrow night, you will play the Pacers in Vegas on Thursday night. If you lose, you will play Friday night in Boston against the Celtics. So the Knicks are your opponent tomorrow night. And as we mentioned, the injury report is very clean for the New York Knicks. Evan Fournier, really the only notable name that is on there, he is listed as questionable. We mentioned how good the Bucks have been in the clutch. It's not just the clutch where this team has thrived. It has been in the fourth quarter, specifically, where the Bucks have a 130.2 offensive rating in that quarter. It's pretty good, right? You nodding?
Sounds good.
It's, 118, I think we said, was the season. What word am I looking for? Total season for the Bucks. 118. Yeah, 130.2 is what they have done offensively in the fourth quarter. Their defensive rating is a 114.1, which, again, is right there in line with not only their total season performance, but that number we point to that slightly improved since November 3rd. So their defense has remained consistent. The offense has just jumped to elite in those spots. 16.1 is their net rating. That offensive rating number minus the defensive rating number, 16.1 is the difference. You want the highest net rating you can get. This isn't golf. And the Bucks, by a wide margin, are the best team by way of net rating in the fourth quarter, 16.1. The New York Knicks, who you will play tomorrow, are second best at 11.8. And how the Knicks have gotten it done is defensively. They have the fourth best defense during the fourth quarter. So this is truly going to be tomorrow night, if it's a close game, the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. We saw that once before with the Bucks and the Knicks, where that was one of those clutch games in which the Bucks prevailed. But as we mentioned after Bucks Talk after the Bulls game, you don't want to fall into the trap of constantly needing Damian Lillard and your performance in the clutch, and the fourth quarter for that matter, to bail you out. We heard Giannis talk about it. We heard Dame talk about it as well, saying we need to find more consistency. We talked, me and Dave Kane, talked with Bobby Portis after the game against the Atlanta Hawks, and I asked him, how do you explain what this team has done in the fourth quarter and in those final 5 minutes? And as Bobby Portis said, similar to what we have heard from Giannis, from Dame, from Adrian Griffin, well, number one, this is a resilient group. And you think about the makeup of this team. Damian Lillard, the reputation that comes with him as the ultimate closer in this league. Giannis, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, those are all big pieces that have won at the highest level together and been through those moments quite a bit in 2021 when the Bucks went on to win a title. Even Jay Crowder, who I know is not out there now, Jay Crowder's been through those moments with the Phoenix Suns, where he faced the Bucks in the finals, with the Miami Heat. So it's a resilient group, is the answer Bobby gave us, but also, you know, we got to find more consistency, and we got to clean things up in those first three quarters. The first opportunity the Bucks have to do that is tomorrow. where they take on a New York Knicks team that is neck and neck with the Bucks as one of the best fourth quarter teams. Now, here's one thing to keep an eye on if it does get to another tight game. The Knicks have been one of the best rebounding teams in the league this season. They are the best in the fourth quarter. Best rebounding team by way of rebounding percentage. And sixth best on the offensive glass. That's how their offense thrives. Best on the defensive glass. They get those second chance opportunities. Again, 6:30 tip tomorrow with the winner taking on the Indiana Pacers in the semifinals. 6:30 tip. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. Talk to you tomorrow night after the Bucks and the New York Knicks.